Three Dog Thursday on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you in part by BetQL. Your bracket may bust, but your bankroll never has to with BetQL. Use the promo code MARCH30 for 30% off the entire year of BetQL. That's BetQL, promo code MARCH30. We're also brought to you in part by Odds Crowd, and Odds Crowd has a ton of free fantasy betting contests, including a $2,000 season-long MLB contest and a $500 weekly contest. Just download their app today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to free daily video picks from the SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling, and make sure that you subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you in part by Better Edge. Better Edge is a stock exchange for sports bets, allowing you to buy and sell betting positions like the stock market. The best part is it allows you to bet with no VIG. That's right, no VIG, and it's legal in 40 states. Sign up at BetterEdge.com, promo code SGP for a free $10 bet. That's BetterEdge.com, promo code SGP. And we're also brought to you in part by PicksWise. Follow the PicksWise Capper Contest at PicksWise.com for free picks and analysis throughout the tournament from the likes of John Rothstein, Rashad Phillips, Jeff Nadeau, and more. See which expert is trending hot as they battle it out for a winner-take-all $10,000 prize. It's over at PicksWise.com.
Football fans, time to go on the record for this week's matchups in pro and college football. With just one catch, we're only interested in underdogs. Who can keep it close, if not pull the outright upset? Time to find out. It's Three Dog Thursday. Now here's your host, TJ Reed.
Yes, indeed, and we now know the final four as Baylor and Houston and Gonzaga and UCLA have made it to the promised land of the 2021 NCAA tournament. And we are here to talk all about it on the only digital radio show that is devoted mostly to those lesser knowns, mostly to the little guys, the guys that aren't given much chance to go and pull off the upset. But this is the time of the year for the upsets in college basketball. It is Three Dog Thursday. I am merely the somewhat rested host. Been a lot of long nights with all of the basketball action. And a reminder, however you found this show, social media link, our friends at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, their website, Sean Green, Ryan Kramer, Colby Dan, all those guys with the Sports Gambling Podcast network of shows. However you found the show, make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. Show comes automatically to you on Thursday. And we have so much breakdown. We have a blaster in the football season now, all the way through the college basketball, and we're going to keep on rolling through the Final Four here as part of Three Dog Thursday. Again, I can't do this show alone, so I'm going to enlist some great help here. Brian Edwards, the senior handicapper from Vegas Insider and MajorWager.com, my wingman on this program, is back again for another edition, and we now know those Final Four matchups, including Gonzaga and UCLA in the second of two with Baylor and Houston. Who had that Final Four at the beginning in their bracket? Somebody show me a bracket with all of that. It's crazy. Brian, good to be with you. And we're sorting through all of this. Just give me some overall thoughts because we're down to two teams in Texas and two teams on the West Coast. It is the first time ever in the Final Four, no teams in the Eastern time zone in the Final Four. How wild is that? So welcome in.
Yeah, that is wild, especially with the Pac-12 struggles in really all the major sports over the last, you know, half dozen years and probably a little beyond. Just Mick Cronin, man, he's the story. You know, one time ever he'd gotten beyond the first weekend, and now he becomes only the second since Shaka and VCU from the first four to make the Final Four. with five wins, and they've been doing it in underdog fashion with the Abilene exception. And just as a little just warm up for what we're looking at, they're plus 14 right now to Gonzaga. They have only lost by double digits twice this year. In the season opener, they lost by 15 at San Diego State, but no Johnny Juzang, who had 28 points last night. And their other loss by double digits was by 18 at USC on a night. They were 17 of 57 from the field for 30% and only got the free throw line six times, only made three. So if Gonzaga covers, they will be doing so, doing what only San Diego State and USC could do, and they did it on their home floors, and the Aztecs did it with no Johnny Juzang, who has been the catalyst in this tourney run.
So much to talk about here. And by the way, kudos to Brian, who was all over all the way back last week on the show in the Sweet 16, both Oregon State, as they were able to get the win over Loyola Chicago. You were also all over Oral Roberts when we were talking to keep it close, if not win the game. And they had their chances with Arkansas. That was the Sweet 16 round on the weekend. I failed with Oregon. I thought the Ducks might have something for USC, but that didn't work. And then this UCLA team has just captivated us with what they've done. Again, at the time that Brian and I are taping, we are fresh off of what the Bruins did late night Tuesday night in Indianapolis, beating Michigan in a grinded out game that finishes, 51-49 at the very end of it. Brian, what are your thoughts on how Michigan played down the stretch? Because I've got some, but I want you to go first. And how UCLA has survived again to this point, beating the 2-seed Alabama, pulling out that tremendous game Sunday night, and then beating the 1-seed Michigan. Go ahead.
Well, Wagner gave them nothing. You know, the whole deal with missing Livers was missing his offensive punch, and it did not catch up with them until last night. But they obviously were lacking offensively. Wagner just had an awful night, an air ball there on the potential game winner with like 6 seconds left. And great season for Michigan. Great season for Juwan Howard. I think everybody I know I did thought they would be the first 1 seed to get punted. They were not. Even without Livers, they made it to the Elite Eight. They absolutely smoked an FSU team that was a – under the radar, you know, pick for a lot of people to go very deep or deeper than the Sweet 16. But FSU has still not gone to a Final Four since 72 and only won Elite Eight since Pat Kennedy in the mid 90s. So, whatever. They had a bad night last night, but it was a great season for Michigan. And if they'd have had Livers, who knows?
Yep. Ifs and buts, though, you get one crack at it. And as I often like to say, and I want your thought on this, not all games that end in a close one possession last shot situation are won and lost in the final minute. I really believed in real time as it was going, and even put this on social media, Michigan with 6 minutes left, 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left, botched point blank shot after botched point blank shot after botched point blank shot. They cost themselves being able to put pressure on UCLA, maybe even have UCLA down by a couple of scores, down maybe by 3 or 4 points, by not being able to convert. And the Bruins have demonstrated now over and over again, you put them in an in-game situation, the final possession or two, and the game's on the line, they're going to win the game. And Michigan put themselves in that same cooker, that same jackpot, and give Mick Cronin's team credit. They have found magic in the final minute of games over and over again, Brian. All right, there's my thoughts. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man, I'm just happy for Mick Cronin. I religiously bet Cincinnati unders for nearly a decade and did so with all sorts of success. So I've always loved the guy. He just normally hasn't had enough offense other than Sean Kilpatrick back at UC many moons ago. But now he's got scorers, man. He's got guys that can – I mean, obviously it was a low-scoring game, but low-scoring games are Mick Cronin type of games. And I will say that UCLA is, of the teams left in the field, is the last team to win a natty, obviously with Jim Herrick in 95 when Cameron Dollar out of Atlanta Douglas High School, who I got absolutely dominated by at a basketball camp in the early 90s one year. And Cameron Dollar was the catalyst when Tyus Edney was who, after he had gone coast to coast to beat Missouri round of 32, he sprained his ankle, and Cameron Dollar and the Bannon boys beat Nolan's Razorbacks in the 95 finals. That's the last team of the four remaining that won a natty, and none of these four coaches have ever won it all. So we're going to have a new first-time natty winner.
New blood in there for sure. And, of course, so much to get to here on the Final Four breakdown, which we'll do more in the final segment after the YouTube roundtable here on Three Dog Thursday for at least Three Dog Thursday purposes, and whether we like the Houston Cougars and the 5 points with Baylor, or at the current line right now, Gonzaga favored by 14 over UCLA. That line originally opened at 13.5 and was up to 15 at some places. It's 14 at the time that we're taping now. That's a large line for a national semifinal. A few more thoughts from you. I mean, we've gone too long talking about UCLA without talking about Gonzaga. They are the story right now, undefeated. And again, this is not some fluke, some pushover situation. You look at the out-of-conference wins over Kansas and West Virginia and Iowa and Virginia and on, and now just dismantle both Creighton and USC in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. We're sitting on history again here. We have the first team since Kentucky 2015 to make it to the Final Four undefeated. It is interesting, the last two teams to get to the Final Four undefeated, Kentucky, as I mentioned, 2015, UNLV 1991, both got there and both lost in Indianapolis, Brian Edwards. And the whole tournament's been in Indianapolis, but now Gonzaga is facing that same kind of negative black cloud against the UCLA team. But still, let's wax some more about Mark Few's team, because they were fantastic Tuesday night rolling into the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, they've won 28 games in a row by double-digit margins. I don't know. Did maybe that 91 UNLV team do that until they ran
into – I don't know that
the
they even did that. I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I think we would have – well, are they saying that Gonzaga's the first team to ever do this? Or maybe
I believe that is correct now. That UNLV team might have won 20 games in a row, something like that, in 91 by double figures, but nobody's been close now once they've gotten to 25, 26, 27 – it's ridiculous. You know, West Virginia, right, is the only team back in the pre-conference to hold it under double digits against these guys.
Yeah, and last night was only their fifth single-digit favorite spot of the year, and they improved to 4-1 against the spread, single-digit favorite, which we'll see in the finals. I don't know. If Houston beat Baylor, would Gonzaga be double digits to them? Maybe. They won't be to Baylor. But anyhow, yeah, this team's loaded, man. They're so loaded. A hell of a team, a hell of a coach, and it'll be the culmination of 20-plus years in a row of making the tournament every single year by Mark Few if they can get it done. But, you know, after all the upsets and whatnot all tournament long, it may end up being – who, you know, they put out a prop bet in late January, early February, Baylor and Gonzaga versus the field. And right now the odds makers have it a favorite for Baylor and Gonzaga to be in the finals. So we'll see how it goes.
No doubt. That's the voice of Brian Edwards, MajorWager.com, also senior handicapper, Vegas Insider. You follow him at Vegas B. Edwards. I love his insight on Three Dog Thursday, where we talk the underdogs. And again, let's just say something about Houston finding a way to get it done. Again, there's so many different avenues that we can travel on this show and how we want to go, because Houston is back for the first time since Phi Slamma Jamma. You and I are contemporaries on loving them. I just want to hit you with the humorous one. How can the Houston Cougars have won an Elite Eight game and not dunk the ball once? What in the name of guy
the other night?
They did not have one to my recollection and counting. How does a team that had Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler and that polka dotted towel from Guy Lewis back in the 80s and all those dunks not dunk the ball and yet still make a tribute to Kelvin Sampson and his team? And every one of these has a subplot, because Baylor with Scott Drew's been fantastic. They came off the COVID pause and won the Big 12 regular season. They're in the Final Four for the first time since 1950. Remember, they got virtually the death penalty without getting the death penalty in college basketball 15 years ago when Drew took over the program. They lost scholarships. The first year that he took over as the coach, they had no out-of-conference games. They only played Big 12 conference games and made no money. They were crippled, Brian, for 2 or 3 years at Baylor, and now he has them in the Final Four. Kelvin Sampson, with all of the NCAA trouble, he got a 5-year ban from the NCAA and went and coached in the NBA and skirted the ban. Now he's come back to college basketball. He has Houston back in prominence. Mick Cronin, all right, 2 years ago, UCLA couldn't figure out who to hire for the whole month of March, couldn't hire a coach. They ended up with Mick Cronin, and there were many who looked at that and said, why?
Maybe because like their eighth or ninth choice.
Maybe. And he had no connection to Los Angeles and the West Coast, and yet it has worked out. And then you mentioned Mark Few and all that consistency building an empire out of Spokane, Washington, at a school with 7,000 students. The Gonzaga Bulldogs have become an empire. Great subplots with all these coaches. I laid the buffet out there. What do you want to jump on?
Well, I just these guards for Baylor are so good. Teague and Mitchell and Butler and then Mayer bringing the mullet back and then Vital is man, he is your tight end prospect, Jerry Jones, if he doesn't make it in the NBA. Reminds me of Patrick Young a little bit from Florida in the earlier this or
2010
11-14. Yeah.
Yeah.
This Baylor team is the team that can definitely beat Gonzaga, but I mean, let's don't rule out UCLA's chances because they got some ballers at Hawkes and Tiger Chandler and
Juzang. Yep.
Yep. And Juzang, yeah, and man, it's gonna be a good it's gonna be 2 or 3 good games next weekend, and looking forward to them for sure. But I mean, I wouldn't be shocked or disappointed if we had an upset on Saturday. But the thought of Baylor and Gonzaga going at it is awfully appealing.
Absolutely, and again, I will relate, having been there, having covered the Final Four. I've been at 18 previous Final Fours, including 3 of them in Indianapolis. Not able to be there again this year, as we talked to the Three Dog Thursday audience. A lot of that has to do with the restrictions that the NCAA has put on the media and the bubble and who can be there and the guidelines. So I totally understand that. There'll be another time. There'll be more opportunities to go and to be around this. But having been there in 2015, everybody had it e-ticketed for Kentucky in the championship game, undefeated, going for an unbeaten season against Duke. And Wisconsin said, and knocked them off. And
Nigel Hayes, Frank Kaminsky.
Great performance. Yeah, Decker, Sam Decker, right, and a couple of others that just that went and got it done that night for Bronson Bo Ryan's Koenig.
Bronson Koenig.
And I still relay this story because it's prior to Final Four Saturday. I was in the lower bowl of Lucas Oil Stadium where the whole half of that lower bowl wrapping around the end zone was Kentucky blue, going absolutely bonkers. Big Blue Nation always travels. They easily, Brian, had 30,000 people in Lucas Oil Stadium that were Kentucky fans. And they were so loud and so crazy. The Harrison twins, Carl Anthony Towns, those guys, until the final 5 minutes. And again, here we go again, just like what happened to Michigan on Tuesday night. The final 5 minutes can decide a game, and Wisconsin made the plays. Kaminsky made a big shot. And remember, that was a revenge game where Wisconsin had lost on a last second shot by one of the Harrisons the previous year in the Final Four in Dallas, speaking of Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. Wisconsin gets the revenge. And again, I can only try to relay to you how silent it was, how funeral-esque it was, watching thousands and thousands of Kentucky fans file past me to get out of the arena, saying nothing, some of them tears in their eyes. It was crazy how Wisconsin
had done it with keys in my hands at the Georgia Dome at SEC tournament finals. I've said goodbye to BBN. Y'all need a ride? Yeah, bye. See ya.
I love that. So that's the story I can relay from 2015. And again, That's what Gonzaga is trying to overcome to get to the championship game. Last team to get to the championship game undefeated. Brian Edwards is looking at me. I'm looking back at you. Larry Bird and Indiana State.
79
is the last team to get there. And the Sycamores. Oh, yeah. Beaten by Magic Johnson and the Spartans. And, of course, Indiana, the last team to get there. Indiana was 32-0 that year. Remember, no Big Ten tournament. And it was not a 64-team tournament, now 68-team tournament in 76. So they only played 32 games only. If Gonzaga wins the last two, it's 32 games. So let's see if...
Wasn't Mike Woodson on that 76
That's
team?
Correct. Hey, while we're here, let's bring that up because I know why you're bringing it up. What in the name of the trail of Bobby Knight is going on here with Mike Woodson as the hire when they were aiming for Brad Stevens? They were aiming for some big names, apparently, and they end up with an NBA assistant and a former NBA coach. All right, your thoughts, Brian Edwards, on that hire?
Well, you know I'm a lifelong suffering Hawks fan. He was my Hawks coach 5 or 6 years. Mike Woodson's a class act. I never really liked him as my head coach. I don't dislike the guy. He's a class act. I mean, he's been successful his whole career, but he's an NBA lifer. And at the age of 63, to go all of a sudden starting to recruit, it just seems like such a reach for Indiana. I'm not a big fan of the hire. But you know what? I mean, I don't think any of us thought Pete Carroll was a good hire for USC a couple of decades ago when he was in the NFL for many years.
Right.
People were critical of Juwan Howard, you know, having been in the NBA for decades and now. So we'll see how it works. At least he's an IU guy. But, yeah, my initial reaction was they're really doing this. They are really doing this. Okay. We'll see how it goes. I don't know.
Well, and again, they bring Thad Matta in, and apparently, as the story goes from the reporting, they were talking hot and heavy with Thad Matta, who physically just can't do it. He can't pass a physical. Yeah. He's got health issues, debilitating health issues, so he's going to assist kind of like as a director of basketball, kind of like a chief of staff to help an administrative guy. Is it maybe a young assistant? And now that Michigan is eliminated, Brian Edwards, Dane Fife is an assistant coach on the Michigan staff, former player on the 0-2 national championship game team, the team that lost to Maryland. Dane Fife was part of that for Indiana. He's Indiana through and through. Does Woodson maybe bring Dane Fife in? And is that the guy being groomed to maybe be the replacement
coach
for him?
Waiting.
Some, I don't know. They got to come up with something because I'm with you. A guy that hasn't been recruiting. I don't know how many homes. Let me put it to you this way. I talked to somebody that is a former Indiana basketball high school star. He doesn't live in Indiana anymore. He was a star. His team went to the state semifinals back in his day in the 1970s. All right. So he told me, I remember when Mike Woodson was on the team Quinn Buckner, with Kent Benson, with all of those guys. And he said, but the difference is there's a whole generation that doesn't remember Mike Woodson from any of that, obviously. So no matter what,
Steve Alford. They don't even remember Steve Alford.
They don't remember Alford, who was, you know, what, 12 years more recent, correct, than Mike Woodson. So what this guy was saying is what Mike Woodson believes Indiana recruiting might be, it's not the same thing anymore. And he started listing off examples that Sean May, whose dad, Greg May, played on the 76 team, didn't want to play at Indiana for all the problems. He went to North Carolina. Greg Oden was the best player in the state of Indiana, and he went to play at Ohio State. The Plumlee brothers for Duke all vacated Indiana and went to the state of North Carolina. So this guy's point is, Mike Woodson may remember what Indiana recruiting was at one point, or may have heard about it, or may think about it, but they've got a long road to hoe. And this guy's point was Archie Miller found it out the hard way that being able to recruit and get them to come to Indiana just isn't that simple anymore. Right. Big right. challenge there, Brian.
Yeah, no doubt. It would be huge if he could get Fife to come along. Yeah. So Rick Bozich, who is in Louisville with DRB, and I've talked to him a good bit. He kind of leans on me for Vegas type stuff, and I ask him questions like, what's going on in the Indiana coaching search? He told me, and this was a good week and a half ago, he told me he thought Fife was a legit candidate to get the head coaching job. So, but yeah, Woodson's got to hire a young, recruiting savvy, tenacious staff for this thing to work. And I don't, has he named any assistants yet? I mean, this is only what, 48 hours ago.
Right. We've been looking.
We've had other ball games to go. I don't
Well, sure. And the thing is, you can't go right at it full bore and announce it. If it is Dane Fife, they were playing all the way up until Tuesday night, and he's an assistant for Juwan Howard. But again, Juwan Howard understood, get me Phil Martelli, like we've talked about on Three Dog Thursday, Brian.
That was a great hire.
Who won 600 games at St. Joe's and understood college basketball. Same thing, Thad Matta, who's won over 500 games at both Butler and Ohio State and been in a national championship game. Speaking of Greg Oden and Mike Conley, they lost to your Gators in 07 with Thad Matta as the coach. So he understands those things.
I remember because I was there.
I was there. I love Cosell. So the other thing is that maybe Fife is going to be the guy, but Fife can help him recruit the Big Ten, understand the recruiting part. Because Juwan Howard had to get up on the learning curve, and Fife was helping him. An Indiana guy helping the Michigan guy recruiting.
By the way, poor Phil Martelli, who came up one basket shy with St. Joe against, I want to say, Oklahoma State.
Georgia Tech. That's correct.
With Jarrett Jack.
That's correct. Georgia Tech knocked them off. They beat Oklahoma State, I believe, to go to the Final Four. 16. And Georgia Tech beat them on the last second shot in the Final Four. And so, right, I mean, now they lose on the last second shots that would not fall for Michigan. But, yeah, we'll see for Indiana and what that means. Interesting coaching carousel. I am surprised as we're sitting here talking, and the Oklahoma job is still open. Texas will not hire Porter Moser. But Porter Moser not getting the Indiana job, not getting another one of these jobs, surprises me a bit. Let's see if he lands somewhere, because there's only so much money he can make at Loyola of Chicago. We'll find out.
What do we have? Oklahoma open, Texas open. And that's great things are going in Gainesville. Florida might be open any day now. I'm teasing.
Yeah. With too many players in the transfer portal for your Gators.
Although I did see Missouri has as many guys in the transfer portal, and Tennessee's right behind us.
It's crazy. So
and there are hundreds of quality players. You just got to navigate this portal.
Well, and here's another great point, and we're going to get out of here, and we got the YouTube roundtable coming up, and I promise Brian's going to be back to analyze, break down, and we'll see if he has an underdog thought on the Final Four games for UCLA or Houston as the underdogs. But in the case of Porter Moser, he can bring Crutwig with him as a graduate senior. He can bring the guard, the outstanding scorer Williamson, as a graduate senior with him. You would have thought that Indiana would be more in on him and trying to get him, offer him, and maybe they did, and maybe Porter Moser didn't want the job. In the back channel conversations, maybe he doesn't want the Indiana pressure, the night comparisons, and didn't want the job. But he could bring those two guys with him immediately to a new school, right?
You think so Crutwig would be popular among the IU Hoosier fan base?
All they want to do is win. So we'll see if they are able to do that.
I mean that big time. For real. He would be the most popular IU player in a decade.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if we'll see where Moser lands. We know it's not going to be Indiana. We'll find out where it is or where it is not for him. And does he stay at Loyola Chicago? Great story. But they get bounced out before they could make the Elite Eight of the Final Four this go around. All right, Brian, stand by. YouTube Roundtable is upcoming. We're back with him talking Final Four. Hang in there with us here as part of Three Dog Thursday. But first, let's tell you about our friends at WynnBET, the college hoops narrowing down to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and headed to the Final Four. And WynnBET is live, bringing you all the action of real sports betting and online casino play produced by Wynn Las Vegas. Get in on all your favorite teams, the Cinderella stories, the tournament upsets still to come, all with WynnBET. Don't miss out on the madness. Generous promos, odds, parlays, they're all happening right now at WynnBET.com. Get started today, and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 risk-free. Terms and conditions do apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com, and download the app. And you're going to hear Brian Edwards and I talking more about those WynnBET lines, including the very intriguing Oregon State 7-point underdog line with Loyola of Chicago. I also am taking a strong look at the WynnBET line of Oregon another one from the Pacific Northwest, getting the 2.5 on the WinBet line with USC. Check out all of those lines at winbet.com. And we're brought to you in part by BetQL. If you're looking to get an edge and make smarter bets during March Madness, well, BetQL's algorithm scans thousands of data points across every game and find the best bets. Easily find the most profitable bet based on their top betting trends. If your bracket is busted, but you still have some bankroll, it doesn't have to bust as well. Just head to BetQL.com and start today. Go to the App Store or the Google Play Store and download BetQL to bet smarter, not harder. And use our promo code MARCH30 for 30% off of BetQL for the year. That's BetQL.com. The promo code is MARCH30 with BetQL. We are also brought to you by PicksWise.com. It's helmed by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring, sports fanatic wise guys who are giving you the who, the how, and the why behind every prediction on every game, every day, in every sport. And guess what? It's all for free. And PicksWise has the capper contest to follow with the likes of John Rothstein, Rashad Phillips, Jeff Nadeau, and six other experts all competing for 10 grand in a winner-takes-all prize. You can follow all the action and the free picks and analysis every day for the big dance by visiting PicksWise.com/March Madness. That's PicksWise.com/March Madness. And we're brought to you in part by BetterThan.Vegas. It's like YouTube, but for what degens only care about, sports betting. BetterThan.Vegas is running a free bracket-style capper contest with a chance to win $5,500. Just go to BetterThan.Vegas and don't forget to let them know that SGP sent you. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV also and subscribe to the Better Than Vegas, BetterThan.Vegas page. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV for BetterThan.Vegas. And we're brought to you in part by Odds Crowd, and hopefully you entered the Odds Crowd March Madness contest for your chance to win $8,000, as Odds Crowd has plenty of free contests, including a $500 weekly contest and a $2,000 season-long MLB contest. And Odds Crowd isn't just fantasy betting contest, it's a social app built just for sports bettors. It's free to download. You can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private betting contests, and more with your buddies. Just download the app for free. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds to find out more about Odds Crowd. We're also brought to you in part by Better Edge, the stock exchange for sports bets that allows you to buy and sell betting positions live like the stock market. And the best part is it allows you to bet with no VIG, since you're buying positions from other sports bettors and there is no house. You can play for money in 40 states, and they're doing weekly college basketball contests right now. We're talking tons of hoops from here on out here on Three Dog Thursday. And on Wednesday and Saturday, pay $10 to enter, and each user starts with a balance of $1,000 in edge coins to wager on the games. The player with the highest earnings takes the entire pool of entry fees. It's like a battle royal, winner take all. Find the link under the competitions tab to get in for just $10. Sign up today at betteredge.com. Use our promo code SGP. Get that free $10 bet as well. That's BETTOREDGE.com. Promo code SGP.
Dogs are barking. Who will get it done this week? Three Dog Thursday now continues. Here again is TJ Reeves.
Indeed, we do roll on with the YouTube roundtable, and I've got some more great guests. We're going to talk a lot of Final Four, but there's even some news about Deshaun Watson that we want to cover, and also the start of the Major League Baseball season as well. So we attempt, at least anyway, on Three Dog Thursday to try to cover as many things as possible. Again, if you're
the listeners will decide if we're great guests, TJ.
Long before the intro.
All right.
Already firing out of the starting block. Tom Looney, my Fox Sports Radio brother from another mother, he'll be here momentarily. Let me remind everybody, if you're only hearing us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts, come find the YouTube roundtable. We are on Three Dog Thursday's YouTube roundtable. Search Three Dog Thursday. You will find us. That first voice is Tom Looney of Fox Sports Radio fame.
I drink a lot of coffee. Sorry, TJ.
No problem. Also, KABC Television, the JT and Looney podcast, many other endeavors. How are things on the left coast in Hollywood, Mr. Looney? Good to have you.
Hollywood, California, shaping values for generations to come, JT. It's just a beautiful place to live, to be, and almost as beautiful as being here on your nickel and dime my little YouTube show, too. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you. Yes, we do nickel and dime it away. And I noticed that Looney does have two tickets to the gun show if everybody wants to come check him out on the video round
table. Well, you warned me while we were texting I would only be seen from the neck up, so then I had to fix the lighting and the camera and spend an extra 10 minutes. It is Hollywood.
Because I didn't want you in the suit coat, the tie, and the Speedo, which you have been known to do. Enough of you, John Harris. All right. John Harris, a man that I'm told can bench 375 if need be, from the Houston Texans radio broadcast, HoustonTexans.com. John Harris, great to have you here on the roundtable. How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. I have not been to the gun show in a very, very long time, and having to follow Tom Looney is going to be a very difficult process. And you mentioned the word Houston. Sports-wise, it's been pretty tough around here the last, I don't know how many ever months, but hopefully we got some news with the Cougars. That was kind of nice to see them get in the Final Four. So I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit. But, yeah, it's been kind of tough. So hopefully we're going in the right direction.
I love it. All right. So since he brought up the NCAA tournament, let's begin with what is freshest right now. And there it is, Thomas Looney. We're seeing it on the YouTube screen on the roundtable. UCLA in the Final Four for the first time since 2008. At the time we're taping, they just knocked off Michigan after beating Alabama. So they beat a 2 seed and then a 1 seed. Thomas Looney, how and why are the Bruins still playing basketball in the final weekend of the season?
And that's the fun question, because they lost their last four regular season games. Then they end up going into the play-in game, which we're not allowed to call the play-in game. They keep changing the name of the play-in game. And now I guess it's the first four. And but it's incredible, too. You know, and one of their best players, Chris Smith, got hurt, and he's not even playing. Another guy, a junior, he's 7 feet tall. And Hill is out for personal reasons. So it's just a real fun story, and taking a look at, and their coach is somebody, a Cronin, that nobody, you know, everyone complained about when they hired him and said, oh no, he was everyone, like Pete Carroll, that same thing. Everyone complained when they hired Pete Carroll and said, who's this retread? And now, you know, if you can kind of compare him to Ben Holland, and Ben Holland, the way Ben Holland would scream at the players, and okay, he's nothing like Ben Holland, except that he screams at the players, because Ben Holland used to go into the press conference and then talk about how awful they were. But Cronin's got their back. He goes into the press conference and talks about how much he loves them and has their back when he's speaking in public into a microphone, and I think they love that. So it's really been a fun team to watch. And L.A.'s been a fun, you know, during this, you know, 2020, 2021 has been, newsflash, has been pretty tough. And so with the Dodgers and the Lakers and now UCLA and USC, it's been a fun 365 days in La La Land watching these LA teams.
Yeah, at least the sports teams. And again, USC ran into Gonzaga. UCLA gets them on Saturday. We'll see how they do with
good luck with that.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. Gonzaga has only won 28 games in a row by double figures. So that's something else, but it's not
They're
impossible.
Flawless. It's unbelievable. Right, you know, and they missed 10 layups.
Well, yeah, and they let USC back in the game after being up by 30, so it makes everybody think that they might be mortal. But in any event, John Harris, well, let's switch to the other side of the bracket where Houston will play Baylor. It is a total flashback to the old Southwest Conference or the Southwest Conference. Let's share the screen, shall we, once again here and take a look. And there they are. The Houston Cougars are back in the Final Four for the first time since Phi Slamma Jamma, John Harris. Are they going nuts? I mean, I realize the whole tournament's been in Indianapolis. They haven't been coming back and forth to the campus. They're in a bubble. But how nuts are they going in Houston to have the Cougs in the Final Four this weekend, sir?
Boy, I wish they would have come back to campus, because I think there would have been a great reception for them. And like I said earlier, the city of Houston is kind of gone through it. You know, the James Harden situation, wanting to get out from the Rockets. And then obviously, even before all the legal situation happened for Deshaun wanted out of Houston. And so I think we were all looking for some positive angle, and the Astros don't start until Thursday night. So we wanted or needed something positive. And meanwhile, even though really nobody in Houston for the most part talks college basketball until about February, you look up and go, hey, everybody, this Houston Cougar basketball team's pretty darn good. And if you watch them, I think you'll respect what you see from them in that they lock teams down. They've got a defensive guru in Dejan Giroux, who is just phenomenal. And he played in a game against Rutgers with a hip pointer. And having dealt with that before many, 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 many eons ago, that's as painful a thing to deal with. And he fought his way through the Rutgers game, making some big plays down the stretch. They win that game somehow. And then that defense just really took over at times. They don't score the ball very well. They've got a couple of shooters in Grimes, and Giroux can knock down a few stand-up, spot-up jumpers. Sasser can hit some threes, but they go to the offensive glass. They play defense. And Kelvin Sampson keeps his cell phone in his pocket. But he's come in and done a really nice job with this Houston program. I mean, they needed facilities. They needed everything. I mean, when Sampson first got there, he said he wouldn't even take recruits into the facility because they were so bad. Well, Tillman Fertitta ponied up money. And if you know Tillman Fertitta, Golden Nugget, Landry's, all kinds of restaurants. I mean, that's his world. And they've taken a big hit. But before that, he was sinking a lot of money at the University of Houston. Kelvin Sampson apparently was a guy that he pushed hard for. And with Kelvin Sampson there, and hopefully Danny Holgorsen gets a turnaround football-wise, well, the Cougs have got a little something finally. And I said this the other day on radio, if you're 36, which is not young, I guess, you've never experienced this. I got a chance. I moved here in 84 to Houston. So I got a chance to catch the back end of Five Slamma Jamma. And it was as much fun to watch as any basketball team. I would say the second best team that I love to watch is this Gonzaga team. And Tom hit on it. Yeah. I don't know how you beat them. Because when you look at a team, you go, okay, how do you beat this team? I think if you can beat the Cougars, they've got to win one way, basically. And that's play defense, offensive rebound. That's how they got to win. Gonzaga can have an off game shooting a three, but still beat you inside. They can have a rough game inside, but they can beat you shooting a three. They can play defense, get their hands in the passing lanes. They can press. They can do so much. I don't know how Gonzaga beats or how anybody beats Gonzaga, but it might be Baylor.
Well, remember, it's kids. I think the only way it happens is what happens to USC. You choke. You get out there. The lights are really bright. You're in a championship game, right, and you're 19. and, you know, your brain isn't fully developed, and that's what happens in college football and college sports in general. That's always the elephant in the room or the asterisk, the intangible, is immature brains out there might pass the ball to the wrong guy or call a timeout or choke or just to be too nervous throughout the entire process. That could happen to Gonzaga, and that's the only way they're going to lose.
Keep in mind, they haven't, as I just elaborated with the stat, they haven't played a close game in a while. They had to come from behind and beat BYU in their conference championship game, but that wasn't a close game in the final 5 minutes. What will happen if it's down to a final minute or, two possessions and free throws and whatever?
And it becomes unfamiliar. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And exactly. A couple of other points about this, as we've already said on this podcast, I'll be illuminating this not only on this show, but everywhere for the next few days. Kentucky looked like an unbeaten Godzilla and got to Indianapolis in the Final Four 6 years ago. And Looney loves it when I do Howard Cosell, like I used to do on Fox Sports Radio. I remember because I was there. I was there in 2015 to watch Calipari's team beaten by Bo Ryan in Wisconsin. Goodbye, unbeaten season. Goodbye, title. And, of course, UNLV, Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman, who else? Help me. Anderson Hunt, Greg Anthony. Yep. They looked invincible, Looney and John, and Duke beat them in the Final Four and went on to win the title with Leitner and Grant Hill and Hurley, and they had great players. But
and we remember the great upset with North Carolina State back in the 80s.
Yes, against Houston.
And there's so many.
Oh, yes,
many.
We remember that in Houston, Tom. Thank you very much. That's well remembered in Houston. We can go down the list. I mean, 2 years ago when I'm standing on the sidelines watching us blow a 24-0 lead to the Chiefs, I'm like, I'm from Houston. Unfortunately, I've seen this before on a number of different levels for a number of different teams in our city.
And in college sports, and that's what's fun about Saturdays, College Sports Saturdays during football season is there's a Buster Douglas or two every week.
Every week.
In college football because it's teenagers.
Sure, no doubt.
They don't look like teenagers.
That's true. They're getting bigger. You look at some of those players that are out there this weekend.
Oh, my God.
That they look 28. But Harris gave me so much material. I mean, he slid in the NCAA violation reference on Kelvin Sampson with the cell phone so deftly that it almost went by most people. I just wanted to acknowledge that. And can I get one more here? I've been saying this, and John, you can relate to this, and Looney, you remember these teams. What in the name of Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon is a Houston team doing making the Final Four that didn't dunk the basketball at least once in the game that they won the other night with Oregon State? Phi Slamma Jamma would dunk the ball 15 times a game. We got to get a dunk or two out of Houston or it ain't Houston, I say.
I mean, you know, it's interesting you say that. They don't have, I think, a starter over 6'7", which is kind of interesting. I mean, they bang the glass and they go after it and they're aggressive, but they're just not. I mean, look, those five Slamma Jamma teams, John, they were looking to embarrass people. Olajuwon, I've talked to Dream about this, and we were going to dunk on everyone. I mean, that was the philosophy. They wanted to dunk on everybody. Clyde said the same thing. And it really became kind of a competition for them who could get to the glass and put one on somebody's head. This Houston team is more about, and Kelvin Sampson, I give him a ton of credit. You know, I made the tongue-in-cheek joke about the phone, but he's meant a lot to the city of Houston and the campus. It's been incredible, but he's got them. And this is the thing. He's got 18 to 22 year olds believing that defense and rebounding are the way to win games. I mean, that's a minor miracle. When you think about teenage kids, hey, it's not about the three. It's not about how you can dunk on somebody, but can you lock somebody up and can you go to the glass and get rebounds?
Well, yeah, he's put a quarter turn on the mundane and doing, you know, the kids grew up watching Steph Curry.
Of course, and, yes.
And their even 7-foot guys are taking threes, and which when we watch makes our heads spin. But there's always something more to learn about your craft, and these kids are learning the way it was done. Back when we watched, you know, we can still do it now on YouTube, is watch any black and white 1964 NBA championship video, and you see guys who's over 6'7", and nobody's dunking. And that's kind of what Houston is doing.
Yeah. Well, give them credit. Give them credit on that front. And again, it'll be exciting in the Final Four no matter what happens with Gonzaga, UCLA, and then the other matchup is Houston and Baylor. Looney, one more quick one. UCLA, again, is doing all of this detached in Indianapolis. Same kind of question with John. They're not coming back and forth. And I know the Dodgers season is about to start. LeBron's been hurt for the Lakers, but is UCLA registering some in La La Land in Hollywood with these upsets they've been pulling? What about it real quick?
Well, remember, it's a front-running city, and we love the stars. And UCLA has always been, well, they're like a black and white movie star. They were great in the 70s and the 60s, right? but people still have the nostalgia for when UCLA won 88 games in a row, and et cetera. So people are always just waiting for them to be great again or the return to the Final Four, and you know how many coaches they've gone through since Wooden, trying to find the next Wooden, and that doesn't happen. Just hire a coach and stick with them, and it looks like hopefully they're going to do this now with Cronin. They're doing it with a bunch of sophomores, the youngest team in the tournament. So, and LA loves young, Hollywood loves young, so they are registering here in La La Land, definitely.
I love it. All right, so we'll turn it a little serious here just for a minute or two. Sure. And obviously, as I share the screen again, the controversy involving Deshaun Watson, quarterback of the Houston Texans, continues. Obviously, John is part of the Houston Texans broadcast and on HoustonTexans.com. And as I've said to him, I dealt with this with Jameis Winston and controversies and in and around the Buccaneers, and he obviously got suspended from the league. So we're not going to put John in any real difficult situation here to criticize, but clearly there are issues here. He demanded a trade, as you mentioned, John. There are allegations. His defense lawyer, Rusty Harden, who has previously defended Roger Clemens, among others, in high-profile cases, has gone on the offensive, has basically put out there that there are numerous masseuses who say none of this is true. He's well-behaved. All right, so I've said my piece. John, it is a controversial time with Deshaun Watson right now and trying to figure this out.
And yeah, that's the thing, TJ. And you know, as it pertains to, you know, Jameis, once it gets to the legal aspect of things, it's, you know, especially if you're in a building like I am and employed by the Texans, like I am, there's not much to say about it. In all honesty, I don't know what to say about it, because it honestly happened on a Tuesday night. This, I got a text at about 10:30 at night, and it just had the eyes emoji on it. And it was the original post from Tony Busby. And I read it and I was like, wait,
He's the lawyer. So we're clear. He's right. The lawyer for the plaintiffs that are coming forward to civilly complain and sue for sexual assault.
And everything, every minute of the day since then, it's been something new and different. And Nick Caserio told myself, my partner, the voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer, when he did an interview with us, he just said, you know, it's an ongoing situation. We can't comment on it. And he literally said it's changing day to day. And that really is what it is. And that's the thing. You're in the building, you should know. Like, first of all, we don't know. We don't know anything. And the thing is, even if you go before all that posted, and you move outside the personal realm of all this, which is just trying to comprehend it all is like mind blowing. But before that, he had requested a trade. And so when you look at the football aspect of it, which is, you know, the one thing that I don't know if I can even speak on that, but it's like, I don't even know, like, is this, can you settle this case? Can you not? There's just so many questions about what's going to happen, that when people talk about it, I know my friends talk about it on the radio, on all the stations here, they don't even really know what to say about it, because they're like, well, is he gonna play? Is he not? So with all that kind of hanging over all of us, we're kind of like, what do you say? We don't know. We have no idea. And now we've got the two lawyers on both sides, Tony Busby and Rusty Harden. And I don't know if you want to say they're sniping at one another or not, but it's just really a situation that continues to evolve day after day. And I have no idea where this leads. None whatsoever. From a football
Understood.
Side, Nick Caserio has taken he went and got a bunch of free agents and brought them to the team because the roster needed a kickstart. He brought in Tyrod Taylor, who can start. We just have no idea where this is going to go.
What can you learn from it? One of the things you learn is look at how uncomfortable you make other people with your questionable behavior at times, or your alleged questionable behavior. Look how uncomfortable what happened with Deshaun Watson makes John and everyone else who inside the Houston Texans universe. Another thing you can learn from it is young professional athletes, and young, we're talking about college athletes here, is when you are... You know, and I've done a lot of CrossFit, a massage needs to be part of, you know, any kinesiologist will tell you this, needs to be part of the regimen in addition to all the working out and the practice. And that is, if you're a young, heterosexual, vibrant guy like Deshaun Watson, and I'm not being cute here, get a massage by a guy. And that way, because, by the way, here's another thing too. If you're heterosexual and young and vibrant, get it from a guy. And that way, and that, by the way, that's usually what professional guys get. That's usually what happens anyway. So this is part of the way this can all be avoided. And massages tend to feel pretty good anyway, and your mind can wander and things can pop up. Well, that way, and at least a male will know that that's how the equipment works, and nothing will be confused.
Okay.
So there all are right. ways. I know. Right
to here, avoid not, it. TJ's I got you. Gonna,
yeah, TJ's going to move you right along now.
I got you on that point, and I think no one can dispute that, especially with the number of females that are now coming forward. Because one of the things that struck me, just from a common sense thing detached, how many different masseuses are there when so many of these guys are so protective of who's their inner circle, who gets to be around? That's another thing that needs to be sorted out in this. Again, that's for the lawyers. That's for the league. Looney, you're detached. So I want to ask you this question.
Okay.
He wanted to be traded. He wanted to be gone. This almost, to me, detached, makes him untradeable to another team. Would you agree with that, Looney? Not John Harris, as we go along on the audio podcast. Would you agree, Looney? This makes him untradeable, I think, at this point, to another team to take this on until it's resolved. Common sense, yes.
It's real tough. We have a Me Too movement going on where all of us guys are trying to open our minds, if we're good people, and learn about about relaxing and listening to charges and maybe adjusting our own behavior throughout the years as society's manners and enlightenment changes. And so with that very macro answer to what you're saying, yeah, teams aren't going to move on it right now. The NFL is being very conscious right now. It's about social political things, and they may not be able to trade him. And here's another thing, too, I was just going to add to that, is now in the NFL, because and a Major League Baseball, because of the, especially baseball, because of the steroid issue over the years and drama, they have a list of supplements that they allow and supplements that they don't, and they try to provide you with them so there's never a mistake. I guess maybe that should be the same with masseuses for years to come. Team provides the masseuse. Yeah. And you're on your own if you order one from the pink house on the corner.
Okay, just in general on that. We will wind it down as you hear from Tom Looney. John Harris, also with me from Houston. Looney out in Los Angeles. He's Looney about it all and Looney about sports. Baseball starting. John referenced this. Looney, you've got it. I'm going to show it on the screen. As much as I begrudge that your Los Angeles Dodgers defeated my Tampa Bay Rays, there they are. They did win the world championship in the pandemic version of 2020. I remember we talked to you last year as this was all cranking up. The Dodgers are the champs. Again, same question. It's renewed. It's a chance to repeat. It's going to be a longer season. But what about the optimism for the Dodgers, Tom?
Well, the first thing I try to do when I try to squint and see what kind of stuff you save on your desktop, if there's anything anything scandalous that you're saving on your desktop. See, you got rid of it. Okay. Dodgers won 71% of their games last year. If they had been a normal year, that would be 117 wins, TJ. And they have basically almost the core of every member of the 2020 team. And then they add a Cy Young winner and Trevor Bauer, Corey Knebel. And they have a great prospect. I always call them suspects over the years, but Gavin Lux was an outstanding prospect that lived up to the hype. He has a clear path to being a regular player, a day-to-day player, which takes them to another level. So the Dodgers, incredibly, the Dodgers have been the best team in baseball for a long. They were the best team in baseball when they had Manny Ramirez. They just could never win a World Series. They finally have done that. Repeating is going to be tough because it's just tough in general. But it's certainly going to be the best team in Major League Baseball in the regular season. And that's in L.A. We're crossing our fingers for the postseason.
Well, here's what we're crossing our fingers for in Tampa Bay is that the Rays get to have another fun year. Tyler Glasnow of the Rays, we're showing that on the screen. The Rays begin their defense of the American League Championship. Again, it was a shortened season last year. The likelihood is, I'm not being Debbie Downer here, but the likelihood is they're not going to be able to keep up with the Yankees, the Red Sox, the big spenders for an entire 162-game schedule. We'll see, but it's still going to be fun. The Rays get underway with the Marlins. Makes total sense for Major League Baseball with all the freezing cold temperatures everywhere, all over Big League Baseball. Let's have the Rays and the Marlins, who are both in Florida, who both have indoor stadiums, play each other for the first series of the year. And you wonder why fans just shake their head.
It drives me nuts. The early games should be in warm weather cities.
Yes, or domes. Yep. And the Rays are playing the Marlins. John Harris, they play there at Minute Maid in a dome in Houston. Is there some optimism? I know the Cougars going on right now. Is there some optimism for the Astros start of the season real quick?
Well, I mentioned it earlier about what we've kind of been through in Houston, and it sort of started, and I'm surprised that Tom didn't take a shot, and it probably would have been worthy, about reading signals. And there's been no banging of trash cans in my house or any of that, but it really started back in January for us, because it was sometime in January when that whole thing was uncovered about the trash can banging. And then we blew the lead to the Chiefs, and then the Rockets sort of imploded, and then COVID hits, and then all this goes on, and we go 4-12, and Harden's traded, Deshaun Watts out, and then all this legal stuff. I mean, it was, oh my God, what is going on in this city? And of course, I know the Dodgers fans wanted to see the Astros so they could be there to boo them and all that kind of stuff. And, last year, TJ, your Rays almost blew a 3-0 lead in the ALCS to a team that really had no business being there, because that Astros team was not a great team last year, but they knew how to play big in big situations. And that's been kind of a hallmark for them. They had Jake Odorizzi as a pitcher, and we'll see what he's got after missing some time. That's going to be a key. Zach Greinke's got to be the guy. which I think they're fine with, but they've got some young pitchers. Framber Valdez is a guy to keep an eye on. I think people in Houston are very excited about the Astros because the Rockets lost, I think, 19 or 20 straight. The Texans are obviously going through what we're going through, and hopefully we're going to get out of this at some point. But the Astros have been the steady. You know, Altuve's back. They were able to bring back Michael Brantley. They signed a pitcher in Jake Odorizzi, who was, you know, up for Cy Young. They've got a lot of pieces still there. Yes, they did lose George Springer, and that did hurt. But with this starting in their ballpark in a full season, hopefully, fingers crossed, that they get it done, I think there's a lot of optimism about what the Astros can do. Now, are they with the Yankees? Are they with the Rays? Are they with the Red Sox? Or are they a tier below that? We'll find out, and hopefully their pitching will hold up. I just wish they'd get Verlander back and healthy because he gives them such a jolt. I just don't know if he can do that. But I know Houston last year was looking for Game 7, get that win against the Rays, and then battle the Dodgers and sell that whole trash can banging thing once and for all. I don't know if they were going to beat – well, obviously they didn't beat the Rays, and they weren't going to beat the Dodgers at all. But they've got a lot of – there's a lot of enthusiasm about this team going on a run again, and we'll see because they've got some younger pieces, which they didn't have last year.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to leave it right there. And obviously here on the YouTube roundtable, I do have the Rays hat over the shoulder because unfortunately, Mr. Harris, you know this, we came so close to coming back from 3-0 down. Doesn't matter. The Rays are the American League champs. We'll see how it goes. Of course, that doesn't matter for 2021. Now here we go with a new season. Everybody's undefeated, guys. Everybody's undefeated as the year begins for this year. Again, check out John Harris on Twitter. He is J Harris Football is how you find him. Find him through the Houston Texans as well, their radio broadcast, the Texans web coverage as well. John Harris, thank you in Houston. Let's see what the Cougars do with the Final Four, my friend.
Absolutely. Go Cougs. Appreciate being on, TJ. Great to see you again. And Tom, been a fan from afar, my friend.
Oh, thank you, John. Nice to meet you.
Thomas Looney can be found at Looney on Fox because he's
Looney
all the time.
Yes, I'm still Looney on Fox because I don't want to lose the blue check
mark. I'll promote one more time. I'll promote that Tom Looney can be found on Fox. Looney on Fox right there on Twitter. Find him on KABC TV. Oh, look at – and look as well. Find him with JT the Brick and Tom Looney on podcast – through Believe Podcast and all the podcast platforms. And by the way, if you need John Harris, find him right here on social media at J Harris Football. Looney, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. The Fox Sports Radio alumni sticks together. Thank you for hanging with me on Three Dog Thursday. We are back in once again with senior handicapper, Vegas insider, and MajorWager.com, Brian Edwards, back in the fold. Final Four coming this weekend. So much to talk about with these two matchups in the preview mode. So we're coming midweek, releasing the podcast on Thursday. I guess the first thing that I bring up, did it surprise you that the number for Gonzaga opened at 13.5 against UCLA in the second of the two semifinal games? It got bet all the way up to 14.5 at a lot of places. Did it surprise you that it's that high of a line for a national semifinal? Or did you expect this because of Gonzaga and what they've looked like this year, Brian?
Well, yeah, I wasn't super surprised. I was a little attracted to it, though, and I definitely lean UCLA right now. As I said in the opening segment, they've only been beaten by double digits twice this year, by 15 at San Diego State, but no Juzang in that game, and by 18 at USC on a night where they just shot it horribly. So I'm leaning UCLA, and – wait, will we have a show between? No, I'm probably going to be on UCLA now. I will be patient. I'll only put a little bit on it right now at 14 in hopes of it maybe going to 15, but I don't know which way it'll go. And that's just a guessing game. It could easily go the other way. Who knows?
And we've seen some volatility. We've seen, and obviously there are only two games left, but we saw some volatility when some lines got released for the Elite Eight and moved 2 or 3 points, depending on what the public thought. I'll be curious as the week goes on, does it get bet up by Gonzaga getting a lot of money? And you got to figure some people will wait and put some significant money on UCLA getting 14, 15 points in a national semifinal, something like that. So a couple of other things that I want to say just real quick. Great story what UCLA has done. And they're back in the Final Four for the first time since 2008. They had a 3-year Final Four run that actually began in 2006 in Indianapolis, where they lost to someone's Florida Gators in the national championship. Do you want to say it again? Do you want to say it again?
Contest.
It was, yeah. And you remember because you were there as well.
I was not at the finals in 06. I was at the finals in 07 against Ohio State, but did not go to the semifinals that year when we beat UCLA again because Corey Brewer absolutely dominated. Oh, gosh. His name starts with – it's like A squared.
Aaron Aflalo.
Aaron Aflalo.
Give me 10 bonus points for coming up with that out of the
Aaron
recesses
Aflalo,
of the brain.
Atta boy. Well, he had a better career in the NBA than Corey Brewer, but Corey Brewer just owned him in those two games.
Well, and again, the Gators got UCLA both times in two of those three. My Memphis Tigers got them in the third of those three Final Fours, so now they are back. And there's comparisons being made to Shaka Smart and Virginia Commonwealth, and rightfully so on paper. Both advanced out of the first four, and you know where I'm going here, Brian, to get to the Final Four. But that's where the comparison should stop, with Virginia Commonwealth of 2011 making it to the Final Four, because that VCU team found out on Sunday night, okay, you're in the first four. You're flying from Richmond to Dayton, Ohio to go play a first four game, which they won. And then, okay, you're flying now from there to Chicago, from Dayton to Chicago. New hotel, new setup, and you're playing Purdue and Georgetown for that weekend. Okay, that's over for Shaka Smart in 2011 with his team having won. You're flying back to your Richmond campus for a couple of days because of the way with the travel, et cetera. They weren't playing till later in the weekend. They got on another plane again from Richmond to San Antonio, Texas, to beat Florida State and Kansas in a different state, in a different hotel, and advanced to the Final Four in Houston, where they eventually lost to Butler in the national semifinal. So again, on paper, it says UCLA has done what VCU did. But as I just laid out, that was an incredible, grueling situation for Shaka Smart's VCU team to go from the first four to the Final Four, and UCLA staying in Indianapolis the entire time in the same hotel. I know they played the opening game in West Lafayette, but they took a bus back for an hour and stayed in the same hotel. They've been in the same hotel for 2 weeks, two plus weeks now, headed to Final Four weekend. Not the same thing as what I just laid out for VCU. Can I get an amen on that from you?
Yeah, that's a great point you make, because all those first four teams get robbed of the way – they have to travel and the way they schedule. I remember Clemson, there was the game to be a 16 seed, went like four or five overtimes one year. And so Clemson had to play late at night at, you know, after the four or five overtime game. Their game didn't end till like 1:30 in the morning. They do their media, and then they have to travel to St. Pete. And I remember they got there at like 8 in the morning, and they had to do media at 10 a.m. or something like that, then practice. And then they had to play West Virginia the next day at the very first tip-off at like 12:05 p.m. They screw the first four teams. I mean, at least let them play the like late afternoon game and not the first one. And I remember Clemson led West Virginia, I want to say, by 8 or 9 at halftime, but then they ran out of gas in the second half because
– no kidding.
They were naturally tired.
No exaggeration. They were dead. They were dead from the time that they got there and never recovered a day later. I was at that game, by the way, day of the first and second round in the Tampa Bay area. So yeah, they don't do that anymore. But yeah, this is, again, it's a COVID-19 truncated tournament. We're thrilled with whatever we can get. The television ratings, by the way, Brian, have been massive. And I promise we're going to get into the games here in just a second for the audience on Three Dog Thursday that's been waiting for Brian's analysis from MajorWager.com and Vegas Insider. But the games have been massively watched. It is the highest rated Sweet 16 weekend, Sweet 16 and Elite Eight weekend in 30 years of televising the tournament. So it tells you that March Madness gripped everybody. I did see, and again, this is interesting too, where the games have been on cable late at night a couple of the nights and not on CBS. But CBS for the Michigan-Florida State game on Sunday that ended around 7 Eastern time had 9.5 million people watching for a day game. So it's only going to tell you what those Saturday games are going to do on CBS as it builds to Saturday night and Gonzaga and UCLA. They're probably going to easily have 12, 14 million, maybe more, watching Gonzaga go for the unbeaten 31-0. So again, the tournament's done great. We love it. We understand with the COVID guidelines, they wanted everybody to bubble and test. All I'm saying is keep the comparisons in perspective on what Shaka and VCU did. I'm not a Richmond guy. I'm not a Virginia Commonwealth guy. I'm just saying it's not exactly the same thing. Now, I will say if Gonzaga pulls this off, there is no asterisk. I know they stayed in the same place to win all the games. You still got to win all the games. And at this point, with that out of conference and what they've done, nobody can knock this. Do you agree with me? No asterisk for Gonzaga because you bubbled the whole tournament in Indianapolis?
28 games in a row by double digits. What the hell would the asterisk be about?
No, I don't disagree.
There's no asterisk.
I don't disagree if they win them all, if this is the case. All right, so the first game is going to be Baylor and Houston. Again, Houston there for the first time since 1984 in Phi Slamma Jamma with Kelvin Sampson. Baylor has not been there since 1950. Harry Truman was the U.S. president, by the way. A typical automobile cost around $1,000, by the way, in 1950, if you didn't know that. And there were very few of them that were around at that time. Okay, so here we go with Baylor and Houston. And Houston gets five. If Houston is going to hang in, if not win, a key or two here. I know you don't think they will, but what must go well to keep this close and to hang in if you're the Cougars?
Well, they're one of the best defensive teams in the country. So obviously you gotta contest three-pointers. Baylor is the best three-point accuracy percentage in the country. Maybe the most threes, I'm not too sure. I just know their three-point accuracy is number one. Houston has only been an underdog once this year. They were a three-point underdog to Texas Tech on a neutral court, and they beat them 64-53. And I don't know if it was COVID cancellations, but they really didn't play much of non-conference. Now they beat a good Boise State team that should have been in the tournament if they hadn't played so horrible down the stretch. They beat them by 10, but they haven't played a lot of tourney teams until the tournament, and had the close call with Rutgers, but they put it to Syracuse and allowed Oregon State to climb back into that one. And my boy Maurice Kalou, forever and always, if I ever meet you, man, I'm buying all your drinks that night. Maurice Kalou with the backdoor dagger three with 3.5 seconds left. I would stay away from Houston as an underdog. But, I mean, they do have a shot because they play great defense. If they shoot the three well and can do a good job of contesting threes by Baylor, they'll hang around. It's not going to be a blowout.
And Houston may have played the best defense in this tournament. They're probably better than UCLA at it. That's been their strength, their calling card. Of course, they took down my Memphis Tigers on a half-court shot and then beat them again in the semifinal the next weekend of the conference tournament, have not looked back. Do you buy the argument that Houston's caliber of competition, a 10 Rutgers, an 11 Syracuse, a 12 Oregon State, does not set up well for a Godzilla-like Baylor as a one seed, and that the caliber of competition may hurt them when they get out there against Baylor? Do you buy any of that when we get all the way to Saturday?
A little bit. I mean, well, just because the AAC was a little down this year. Now, congratulations were in order to your Memphis Tigers for winning the NIT, and they had some tough games with Memphis. But who did Wichita State made the first four, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Well, Houston lost at Wichita. Let's see. They won at home by 7 to Wichita. And then I think Texas Tech is the only other tournament team they've played before the tournament. But they beat them by 11. Those are the only tournaments they haven't played. And then, like you said, they get the double-digit seeds the whole way through. Wow. So really the best team they have played all year in terms of seeding in the tournament is Texas Tech.
About that. All right. So we'll see what they can do with Baylor. What a story for Scott Drew. And again, Brian is not big on Houston. You did say earlier in the podcast, as we come around to game two, you'll be interested in UCLA as a 14 point at the moment, and it may go up. You may be hearing us later on the weekend off of Three Dog Thursday, that spread may go up. Right now it's 14 or 14 and a half. Gaudy, that's for sure. But that's more about the way Gonzaga's looked. I mean, my Lord, the way they looked against Creighton and USC, why would it not be a double-figure spread, Brian? Go ahead.
No, No, absolutely. And I won't be aggressively on UCLA, but I don't lay that many points, hardly ever. And yep. Yeah, and I had UCLA last night. They're good to me. So I'll be on UCLA, but not unless the number goes up, it will not be an aggressive play. I'll be looking for I may play over on Baylor Houston, and like I said, I'm not going to be on Houston, so I might be on the other side.
Take a look at that for Three Dog Thursday purposes. And again, Gonzaga has the 28 games in a row that they've won by double figures. Just an incredible streak. We'll see if that continues. But bear in mind, again, the last two, I'm going to keep saying this. I'm going to keep banging the drum all the way through the weekend. The last two unbeaten teams got to this point in the Final Four in Indianapolis, and both Kentucky and UNLV lost this game. So let's see what happens with UCLA's chances in that. Hypothetically, one more. If it is Gonzaga Baylor, like most believe that it will be, where would you put that line, Brian Edwards of Vegas Insider and MajorWager.com? Speculate, because we're not going to have a show before the Monday night game. Where would you think that line would be?
Well, if Gonzaga, you know, only beats UCLA by 5 and Baylor beats Houston by 15, you know, that could, you know, create a 2 or 3 point difference. I think right now that most people would probably make Gonzaga about 5.5 to 7, probably would be my guess. I just think that I think it's got to be at least at least 5, maybe 6, maybe 7, somewhere.
Would it shock you if Gonzaga rolls hypothetically on Saturday? Would it shock you if that line opens at like 10, even if it is Baylor? That would surprise you.
If Baylor beats Houston by 2 and Gonzaga beats UCLA by 25, I would not be shocked if it's 9 or 10. I'd bet Baylor.
So they could put it out at that, and then it may come down very quickly with people betting Baylor. Yeah. And that didn't happen as much with UCLA. We'll see if it does. So it could be history. Could be history for Gonzaga. It's history no matter what. UCLA, as you mentioned, is the last of this group to ever win one out of
have any of them ever won one?
No. And out of Baylor and Houston. Houston again got to the championship game amazingly three times in the early 80s and did not get it done. And of course, the whole you're a nostalgic like I am. The whole Houston and UCLA in the same Final Four. Who can forget the Astrodome 1968, I believe it is. Elvin Hayes, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, then known as Lou Alcindor, 60,000 people in the Astrodome, and Houston beat UCLA in an epic game that snapped like a 60-something game, 70-game win streak for the Bruins. My Lord, if it's Houston, UCLA in this championship game, we have turned the box upside down on 2021 in the NCAA tournament for both of them to make it.
But let's do that Five Slamma Jamma starting lineup just to impress some people.
Yeah.
So we got Alvin Franklin at point guard, Michael Young at shooting guard, Drexler at the 3, Olajuwon at the 5. Did Larry Meeshaw come off the bench, or am I forgetting
the
power forward?
And don't forget, Benny Anders was in that mix, as a dunker.
Reed Geddes.
I'm still going to say this. How the Houston current team doesn't dunk the ball is sacrilege. I'm saying it on Three Dog Thursday, Brian Edwards. Go back. I am no fan of the Louisville Cardinals at all, so I enjoy watching Houston thump Louisville. But go back and watch the second half on YouTube of Houston-Louisville, and there is like an 8-game-minute stretch of one dunk after another. It was amazing to watch that game, and it still lives 35, 38 years later as one of the great entertaining semifinals because of all the dunks. This Houston team doesn't dunk. They defend. They play a lot around the rim, gritty, rebound, but they don't dunk. They make three-pointers. But Phi Slamma Jamma in the title game 3 times and didn't win any of them.
That Louisville team had Rodney and Scootum McCray and maybe Milt Wagner.
I believe so. Yeah. And Houston still put it on them, but then could not beat Valvano and NC State, kind of Mick Cronin and UCLA-esque for how they played, how they slowed it down. No shot clock in those days.
NC State starting lineup and 6-man, I can.
I think I got to go Sidney Lowe.
Yep.
We got to go Derek Wittenberg, who still claims to this day it was a pass at the very end of Lorenzo Charles. Lorenzo Charles, help me with who else is there.
Thurl Bailey. And then the one everybody forgets is Cozell McQueen and Cozell the sixth McQueen. Man, listen Terry Gannon.
Terry Gannon, the broadcaster.
Who took the charge. He said he saw Clyde Drexler like 12 years ago, 12 years after that. And Drexler looked at him and goes, you bleeping a-hole.
Yeah, because right, the charge when you watch it again from the national championship game with Terry Gannon and Clyde Drexler is Terry Gannon grabbing Clyde Drexler's legs as he's about to dunk over him. He's going to dunk over him to get the charge and the big foul call. But what a great game to go back and relive as well. These are the memories we have. And again, I will say for the umpteenth time on Three Dog Thursday, and we got to get out of here, that UNLV team looked invincible in 1991, and Duke with Leitner and Hurley and Grant Hill beat them. That Kentucky team was rolling in 2015, and Wisconsin beat them. This is not a rubber stamp given that Gonzaga will beat both UCLA and probably Baylor. Let's find out, or maybe we do get history on Monday night with another unbeaten for the first time since 1976, and that was Indiana.
Those coaches that beat those undefeated teams, and I hate Coach K, but he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest. But and then obviously one of my favorite ever, Bo Ryan.
Yeah, Bo Ryan. And with those coaches, what will happen with Mick Cronin?
So come on, Mick. Get you a game plan together.
Will it
Mick?
Be them? Will it maybe be Baylor with a chance to derail them in the championship game? We will find out. Brian, we have come to the end here. Again, we say to the audience, they need to be locked in on all your stuff heading towards Final Four weekend and the national championship Monday night. Tell them all about it once again.
My Twitter is at Vegas B Edwards. You can find my content at majorwager.com. You can find all my picks at Vegas Insider. .com, and you can follow the Major Wager Twitter account for other injury updates and such at Major Wager Uno. And I'm also doing a new podcast Tuesdays and Fridays with the A to Z Sports guys out of Nashville. And you can look for their on their social media, ATOZ Sports.
Beautiful. And of course, it's complimentary to me that other people realize, hey, that Vegas B. Edwards guy might be pretty good for our podcast. I was on to you a couple of years ago, my friend, and you've been great with me. All right, whatever happens, we're looking forward to history this weekend. I know this. We'll recap it next week, and we've got much more to talk about with the baseball season starting, with the NBA going to wind down and have the playoffs, et cetera. Three Dog Thursday is going to continue. Brian Edwards, thank you. Thank you for hanging out here once again. Good luck with all of the info, the handicapping, the underdog possibilities for this weekend in the Final Four. Let's see what happens. I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks for having me, TJ. Have a good weekend.
And there he goes. Thanks again also to our YouTube roundtable, Tom Looney, Looney on Fox. Love him in Los Angeles. John Harris in Houston with the Houston Texans. My goodness, the Final Four is about to be here. We look forward to everything that's going to happen with Gonzaga, UCLA, and then Baylor and Houston, a national championship game on Monday. Enjoy all the hoops, the baseball season starting up. We're all about it, and we're all about the underdogs every week. Again, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Thanks for finding us however you did on a social media link through sportsgamblingpodcast.com, their network of shows. I am just TJ Reeves. Enjoy March Madness culminating the wild, wacky tournament. We look forward to that, and we look forward to being back next week on Three Dog Thursday. Bye.